Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper Podcast. Coming right up, fresh tips and insights from lodging professionals aimed at helping you improve your business. Our podcast is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest App, the digital concierge that helps your guests to live like locals. Learn how at frictionlessguest.com.
All right, Steve. So for this Frictionless Innkeeper Podcast interview, we are actually speaking with Tom Kruger, who's a commercial photographer that specializes in hospitality photography, specifically B&Bs.
Yeah, it's a niche. And from what we learned from Tom, it's an important niche if you're an innkeeper, because not all photographers are created equal, right? I mean, certainly the amateur types like you and me, probably, we probably shouldn't even be thinking about doing any photography if we had a bed and breakfast or an inn or a small hotel or whatever. But even with professionals, it's important to have somebody who really knows this niche, who can get the right shots for you, knows what type of stuff to photograph, how to do it, all those things. So who knew that photography was so complex?
Oh, yeah. Even the editing process he mentioned there, too, it's a pretty significant thing as well. So, yeah, there's much more to it. And certainly the big takeaway that I got, it's worth the investment for sure to use services like Tom, you know.
Yep, definitely. So hopefully our listeners will learn some things from what he says.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, we hope you enjoyed this Frictionless Innkeeper Podcast interview with Tom Kruger, who is a commercial photographer that specializes in hospitality photography, specifically in the B&B arena. And Tom and Steve, how are you both doing today?
Very good. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Tom, Steve, how are you doing?
Matt, I'm doing well as usual. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah. This is great. And Tom, let's just kick it off at the top. Tell us a bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into photography in general and your background and all that good stuff?
Well, it's kind of a story of a lot of photographers. I discovered photography when I was in middle school. My parents did photography and we had a dark room in our basement. So they would show me, you know, how to develop film and make prints. And I just kind of, since then, always pursued it and kind of knew that's what I wanted to do, you know, as a career. So that's kind of where the journey started. Never really thought about doing anything else. So pretty much focused on photography. And then I went to a technical school for commercial photography. And that's when I discovered studio photography was one of the things that I really focused on, because of the technical things that you had to do and the creativity. And so I kind of pursued that. From there, I got an assisting job with a commercial photographer, did that for a couple of years. And then I got a staff photography job here in southeastern Wisconsin. And we would shoot things like large set furniture. We would shoot for clients like Culligan was one of our big clients, Simplicity, Kohler. And that's back in the days of film too. So it was all large format film, medium format film. So that's kind of where I crafted my, you know, technical expertise. And from there, I started to freelance. I left that studio job and started to freelance. And then in terms of B&B photography, that's where I discovered B&B photography, because Randy Banks, who you know from Get Heads and Beds, contacted me. And he had bought his first bed and breakfast and hired me to do the photos there and like them, obviously. And he then continued to grow his business, and he bought another bed and breakfast in southeastern Wisconsin here. And he had me photograph that. And then he started his consulting business and then referred me out to his clients. So that's kind of the journey from middle school to shooting bed and breakfasts.
Well, it's a cracked and broken path, right? Actually, it sounds kind of logical, you know. What was the art school or whatever, the photography school?
Milwaukee Area Technical College, just a two-year associate's degree here. It's a program that's good for getting you into the business. You know, it's not necessarily an art school. It's very focused on getting commercial photography as a specialty versus, you know, they would taught large format techniques, studio photography, portrait photography, and that kind of thing. So it were, and then you get an internship, which gets you into the field. So it was kind of a really direct path into getting into commercial photography. And back then, and we're talking about in the late 90s, that was kind of the path everyone had to go to. They go to school, they just go to assist, and then they would find, you know, you kind of earn your way from school to assisting to being a full-time, you know, shooter. That was kind of the path. And nowadays, I don't, you know, it's different, you know, it's all kind of blurred, you know, in terms of how you get there. And I don't, you know, with digital photography, it has really changed the way someone can get into photography. So.
And it, I guess, would you say that the work you did prior, and it's not like you only do B&B type stuff, but I guess maybe the commercial work you were doing, like the furniture and stuff like that, that that kind of maybe helped you cut your teeth on the knowledge that you use for your bed and breakfast photography in terms of some of the techniques and understanding of how to make something look good, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think there's a lot of things, and in you just think of B&B photography, you might just think, oh, we're just going to take room shots. But I mean, it's also food shots, it's landscape photography, it's exteriors, and some people sell products. So it's product photography as well. And there's a lot, you know, a lot of challenges in terms of going into a place and arranging. So yeah, doing large set furniture, you know, we would spend hours, you know, propping sets. And so, you know, in terms of staging a room, that, you know, gave me the experience to be able to stage a room properly. And lighting is huge for me in terms of when I photograph a bed and breakfast. It's, I think it's probably the main factor for me in terms of creating really strong images. To light a room, make it look natural, actually takes a lot of lighting technique and a balanced image. So, you know, not, there aren't blown out lights, you know, no washed out windows. Unless the, you know, sometimes you do want to wash that window. It's a good effect. Or if there's something you don't want to see out that window, you know, so it's kind of being able to do those things effectively and technically correct and make, you know, strong images, nice, clean, strong images. So
give us an example, I guess, because if I'm an innkeeper, if I, you know, have a bed and breakfast and I'm thinking, well, I took the photographs on my site, let's say, and they look pretty good to me, you know, but there's definitely, you can tell typically when it's professional, when it's not. So what are the kinds of things that you would do? It's like staging to me is, I think of, I guess, more in the real estate market or whatever, where you move things around, you know, furniture, plants, you know, flowers, whatever it is, maybe you add some stuff. Or, I mean, talk about maybe a typical shoot. I guess they're all different, but what you might do if, let's say, I had a bed and breakfast, I had a large, I don't know, center hall kind of area, and I really wanted to showcase that. What would you go through, and how long might it take? You know, what are kind of the different steps? I don't want to use stages because we're talking about staging, you know, is one of the things. So what might you do? You come into the space and you say, okay, I got to make this thing look good. What types of stuff are you doing?
Well, usually I start by removing things.
Okay.
Oftentimes there's a lot of clutter, cords, but I always kind of have a pre-plan with the innkeeper. You know, we kind of come up with a staging plan. I do it like kind of a checklist, a suggestion idea, you know, of things that they have, things that they offer, amenities can be like charcuterie boards or cookies or food in the room, wine, cheese. So I just kind of make sure that if they have those things that they actually offer to the guests, that they are available to use kind of for staging and propping. Because, and you know, I don't go in there without a plan with them, because, you know, I don't want to show wine glasses in the room if they don't allow, you know, wine in the room.
Right.
Or you'll see a lot of photos of wine glasses on the world, you know, the jacuzzi tub or in the bathroom. And some places are like, no, we don't want glass by the tub. So that's definitely right. A lot of pre-planning goes a long way, because obviously I need to create images that the innkeeper likes and, you know, it's going to be effective for them. So usually we'll come up with kind of a plan of propping. And when I say, okay, so if I'm going into a room, I do look at basically first starting to remove things, because a lot of times there'll be, you know, alarm clocks or, you know, Keurigs and things. I'm kind of the opinion that showing technology can date your pictures pretty quickly. You know, if you have AM, FM alarm clock on, you know, the bedside, kind of dates the room. Yeah. So with the innkeeper's permission, I kind of remove that stuff, or actually I would prefer if they remove it before I get there, because then I don't have to do it. And also clears cords, so you don't have as much clutter. And then kind of starting to add things, looking, you know, if adding proper staging kind of makes the image more inviting, I would say. Someone can maybe view themselves, you know, in that setting. It adds a little bit of warmth, just kind of gives it some life, right? So that could be a throw blanket, that could be wine bottle, wine glasses, blankets, books, flowers. Flowers are huge. A lot of bed and breakfasts love to have flowers in their photos. Particularly, I like to use flowers in bathrooms, which I like, small flowers here and there, just because it kind of gives it a nice little fresh feeling, you know, in a bathroom. So I kind of use what they have, come up with a suggestion, use, and then so they have their staging items available, and I kind of, you know, use them as I see fit, and also gather the opinion of the innkeeper. As I'm shooting with digital now, I shoot to an iPad, so I can see the image right away. I can show the innkeeper if they're next to me, or if, you know, innkeepers are very busy. Oftentimes I'm on my own. I'll just, you know, send them to them via email or to their phone so they can see what I'm doing and kind of sign off on it. So,
wow, that's pretty cool. So how many hours might it take for you to do like a kind of a center hall public sort of area?
Well, common areas are a little bit different. I generally don't take as much time with common areas because I don't do as much staging there. Those are usually, it's mostly just kind of arranging things as they are. Or if there's a coffee table, maybe adding, again, like I said, if they offer snacks or any type of food, or again, wine and cheese is big, you know, those kinds of things. Common areas is more about getting a good overall angle and lighting. I think staging takes a little bit more time in a room. Rooms, I mean, as you know, are come in all shapes and sizes. Right. So as common thing I see if people are doing their own pictures is they'll maybe do like a high angle, a wide angle shot, and then everything looks distorted. You know, you see that, you get that convergence of lines, you know, everything looks distorted, and wide angle makes everything like it's exaggerated perspective. So, you know, your bed might look just really huge in front and then get really narrow. So one of the things I try to do is not always shoot super wide, because it does give a distorted look, you know, to furniture, to things in the foreground. So I usually try to shoot a little bit less wide angle, but of course you want to get, I usually try to get one really good wide shot of the room, and then kind of get more some medium shots, you know, more intimate shots, kind of showcasing the room, the experience of the room, you know, trying to, again, using staging and propping and lighting to make it look really inviting to the potential guests. So,
okay. So, and when we talked previously, you said something that I thought was pretty cool. And that is that you basically, the approach overall, I guess, it doesn't matter what you're photographing, but the approach is to kind of sell the experience, right? I mean, it's about, because I would assume that most of where the photos are going to go is on the website, right? So you want people, as an innkeeper, you want people coming to your website saying, okay, this, I mean, it's got to be representative, right? It can't be fake. You want it to be representative of what they're offering and what it's going to be like once they get there. So right. It's not like you're bringing in furniture that's not there or something, right? Right. So you want that, but you're trying to sell the experience, and maybe talk a little bit about what that means to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I take a little bit of creative license, you know, in terms of, you know, having, like you said, moving furniture around you know, I will move it around. I don't go into a room and just shoot it as is, unless it's perfect. I mean, there is a lot of like moving furniture around depending on the angle. But yeah, I think selling the experience, I mean, every bed and breakfast kind of is unique, and most, you know, it's not like a Super 8 where all the rooms are the same. Obviously, you have each room is unique and has unique features. So I really try to showcase that, be it, you know, a cozy little sitting area, you know, where you can have coffee in the morning, or unique end tables or lamps and things like that. I try to kind of showcase what makes a room kind of unique. And again, I think that kind of sells the experience of that room. And, you know, again, every room is different. Bathrooms are different. You know, sometimes you don't want to even show the bathroom because you're probably going to lose customers in some of those bathrooms. So, but it's also what not to show sometimes.
Right.
Like I said, it's just kind of choosing different things to feature in the room just to kind of show it, give what the experience of the room is, the character of the room, and trying to set a scene where someone can see themselves enjoying that room. So,
right. Seeing themselves in it and enjoying it, I guess.
Right.
Okay. So I'm always kind of thinking, trying to think of this from the perspective of the innkeeper, you know, it was predominantly who our listener base is. So if I'm an innkeeper, why do I want to hire a professional photographer? I guess it seems like an obvious question, but talk about that as well as talk about maybe the average cost or thereabouts, what, you know, an average shoot, what you'd expect, how many days and cost and that sort of thing. But I guess start off with the why.
Well, why? I mean, there are people, and, you know, hiring someone who specializes in this type of photography, I think is important. Because, you know, you can hire like a real estate photographer or someone who, you know, does more kind of just, I call it disposable imaging, because they're just photos that are going to go on until the property is sold. And then those are thrown out and never seen again. So hiring someone who kind of specializes in it, it's kind of going back to everything I've said, you know, it's using the right lenses and using the right lighting and knowing how to manipulate that lighting to make a room look natural. So you don't have photographers who don't specialize in this or who maybe don't have the experience with shooting rooms, you're going to get color casts. So that's one of the things that, you know, all my images, I'm trying to make neutral color, accurate color. And that's a technique of lighting. And also some, you know, there's a lot of editing involved too, to make a room look natural. Like I said, like making a room look natural takes a lot of lighting. And you don't, yeah, you don't want color cast. So a lot of times I'll go into a place and, you know, you have mixed lighting. You have to know how to deal with mixed lighting. You might have fluorescent and incandescent and daylight, and you're using your lights. So you have to know how to balance that in order to make a nice color correct image. No distortion too. Like I said, a lot of people who take their own photos will be have very distorted images. So the equipment we use or I use minimizes distortion or eliminates it.
So these are all things that the average person is not going to know about. Understanding of it. There's also the equipment. And then there's kind of the technique side, which sounds to me like even if you're a professional photographer, if you don't really have experience with this kind of a niche with, you know, B&B or certainly spaces, right, then you can make mistakes there as well. So even more reason to find the right person for this specific need, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of can be a little difficult to put into words, I guess, because it's a visual thing. Mm-hmm. But I think we've all seen pictures where there's a lamp on an end table and it's completely washed out. And the whole color cast, you know, of amber light or warm light is overpowering the image. So that's one of the things that if you look at someone who specializes in this, such as myself, our portfolio of images have nice balanced lighting, you know, washed out, highlight, that kind of thing. So,
but with expertise comes cost, right? Because if you're hiring an expert, it's going to be more expensive than someone who's not an expert, because you've been doing this for a long time and you've been, you know, you understand what's needed for indoor spaces and food and all that stuff. So, I mean, what's, if I have a bed and breakfast on maybe, you know, I don't know, five rooms, let's say, And I really want to get you to come in and take decent photographs that's representative of some of my rooms, my public areas, whatever. What would you, is that going to be a day? Is it going to be 5 days? And about what, you know, give us a ballpark cost so people get a feel for that.
I mean, I work on my own. I don't, you know, there's some people who might have an assistant or that kind of thing. I try to keep the cost down, and it's just easier really to be able to travel by myself. So I kind of take it on all myself. And it kind of depends on how many rooms and the size of the rooms and how far the travel is. Typical, you could expect us to probably spend at least $1,500 for, you know, a day, I would say. And every, you know, I kind of tried to craft quotes based on a lot of information from the client. So, it's, you know, that's kind of a ballpark. I know if you, some, you know, you might spend $2,000 for a day, depending on what's involved, or a day and a half or 2 days. So,
but a day is probably not going to be enough for the average size, right? You're probably looking at a minimum of 2 days, maybe.
Usually, especially if I'm traveling, you know, I like to at least book 2 days, or a lot of times too. Like I did an East Coast trip and I had three properties kind of in the same area on the East Coast. So I could cut down travel costs. But I would say, you know, most, unless it's a very simple shoot, I generally do at a minimum of 2 days. Because again, it's usually, it's not just rooms, it's food, common areas. And also you have to, if someone has a nice property, you know, then we're dealing with needing to shoot outside at the right time of day to get those photos too.
Right. Yeah, because you want to do the outdoor thing.
Yeah. So you try to shoot optimally and look at the forecast. Like I actually, here's one that I shot. I shot a big property out in Maryland this spring, and she has a very large grounds with beautiful trees and landscape. And I was out there for 3 days, and it was 3 days of rain and clouds. So I never actually had a clear day, and shooting the grounds was very important to her. So here's kind of where, you know, someone who has experience, I kind of pivoted to, instead of shooting wide landscape where you would get gloomy clouds, drab trees and foliage, I just took out a longer lens so I could zoom in. So I eliminated the sky, kind of compressed the image, and we got really nice shots that represented her property, and she loved them. So, you know, that's the kind of thing too, where you need to be able to recognize, well, things aren't ideal, but we can still get the images that you need. So
talk about some other examples, actually, you know, of kind of successful shoots or interesting shoots, or, you know, something that might've been challenging that you were able to overcome.
Well, I mean, that's like, I think everyone, it's like as a photographer too, shooting these properties, it's a unique experience for me every time too. And that's kind of a part of the allure of the job, is I get to go to these cool places, you know, and I paid to be there. I work hard, but then, you know, it's usually I would take a day to maybe, you know, experience the B&B myself. So it is, that's part of the job, that the travel and meeting innkeepers. I mean, innkeepers are really great people. You know, I've had really good experiences with all my innkeepers that I've worked for. Point to that too, because I've been to some conferences where that's what an innkeeper will trade. We'll find a photographer who will work for free and trade for time at their bed and breakfast.
Okay.
And I would steer people away from that, because again, I've invested in the, you know, lots of money and time into being able to specialize and deliver a product that will successfully help sell the bed and breakfast. So I just trading room time for a wedding photographer to come in and take pictures is not usually in your best interest too, as an innkeeper. So,
yeah. Okay.
You know, because I, like I said, someone at a conference was suggesting to all the innkeepers that they just trade time for any photographer. So, but like I said, it's a huge investment in equipment, time, and experience. But kind of an interesting story came to mind during COVID, when everything was locked down. I got hired to shoot an inn in New York, upper state New York. And I think it was, somewhere around 18 rooms. It's more of a hotel, really, and had two restaurants. And it was obviously closed because of COVID. So, and the owner, innkeeper, was actually in Toronto, locked down. So wow. He hired me to go out there, and I flew out there. And that was a good time to travel because I think there were like five people on the plane. So, and got out there and spent, 4 or 5 days there completely by myself, just, you know, in this 18 room inn taking photos. There was a groundskeeper who was off site, and if I needed things, he would come help, you know, help me. But it was kind of a interesting experience being in that hotel by myself for 4 or 5 days.
It wasn't like The Shining, was it?
And I don't know. It got a little creepy at night. I will say, you know, things start to creep in your head after, you know, we've been photographing 12, 13 hours.
Yes.
So it's kind of those unique experiences that and keep the job interesting too and keep you going. And, you know, you never know what the next one's going to bring. You know, you plan for it, but it's always a kind of a unique experience. And also food. No, if we haven't really talked too much about food, but food is photography is a big part of what I offer too, because I think that is something that can really sell your experience on a website, really strong food photography. Mm-hmm. And that's what people look for when they go to a bed and breakfast. Obviously, breakfast is part of it. It's half of it, right?
Right, yeah.
So having strong food photography is something that you can use on social media, use on your website, you know, and marketing. So I always emphasize food photography too, so to my clients.
Cool. Matt, what do we got?
I think we covered off on a lot. I don't know, Tom, anything that we may have missed or anything else you'd like to add here before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, just reiterating the importance of imaging, and I mean, whether you hire me or hire someone else, I mean, it's really the first impression when someone comes to your website, that's the first impression of your inn. So again, in the importance of having good quality, high quality photography and setting yourself apart from the, you know, the competition, obviously it's a very competitive field, competitive business. So having those strong images and keeping people engaged on your website, you know, they want to keep clicking and see more about the inn and the experience. And, you know, that's room shots, good room shots. And I'm not even, you know, a lot of times I'll do nice intimate shots, almost like just showing something that's appealing, you know, for people to keep looking at pictures on the website. So
cool. Good deal. All right, Matt. Lead us out of here.
I'll lead us out. Well, this concludes this Frictionless Innkeeper podcast interview with Tom Kruger, who is a commercial photographer who specializes in hospitality photography. And Tom was kind enough to share his insights into his photography services for B&B owners. And our podcast is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which helps improve your guest stay without adding more to your day. Learn how at frictionlessguest.com. And Tom and Steve, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tom. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks.